Hey, this is DJ Bennett for the Kill Radio News Team. But first, let's think about this. It is hard to imagine a greater misfortune for the world than being saddled with a superpower whose exaggerated perception of its own righteousness and innocence fuels belligerence. I guess the only thing worse is having an enemy that is just as arrogant, self-righteous, and belligerent. Now, there's nothing new about smug, myopic self-righteousness, of course. It's been with us since monotheism managed to infiltrate the moral and political spheres of human life with one God, one truth, and only one right way. Intolerance is bound to flourish. The conflict between America and its Islamic enemies is exasperated by the fact that they share the same monotheistic monopoly on truth and justice, dualistic inclinations, and intolerable arrogance. Witness the insanity that goes with the idea that maybe Iran will get a nuclear weapon. In 2008, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton threatened to obliterate Iran if they got a nuclear weapon. Barack Obama has reassured the world that it is unacceptable for Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Yet it's fine for the United States to stockpile thousands and thousands of nuclear weapons, and we get to tell the rest of the world what to do? What's wrong with that image? And the Republicans, you know, if you remember the Republican debates a few months back, every single Republican on the stage, with one exception, all called for the beating of drums of war against Iran because they might threaten us with a nuclear weapon. Now, let's get down to this. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has never threatened to wipe out Israel. He's announced his desire to put an end to the Zionist state. This shouldn't shock anybody, least of all us Americans, because we do regime change all the time, right? Israelis on the left have no problem with this. They endorse the end of the Zionist state so that Israel can become a country for all of its people, the so-called one-state solution. But over here in the U.S., no, we're going to obliterate Iran for that. Ahmadinejad has also not denied the reality of the Holocaust. He denied that it happened in the Mideast, which is to say that he denied that the Muslims had anything to do with it. That's a big difference. It's a European atrocity. Iran does have some legitimate grievances against the West. In 1953, the CIA and the United States sponsored a coup that ousted the popular and democratically elected leader of the time, and they replaced him with a tyrannous regime. Modern Iranians admire Americans for their freedom, but yet all we do is condemn them, curse them, say they're horrible people, and say that Ahmadinejad is a crazy, insane man. We don't pay attention, we don't listen, because we are right and they are wrong, and we have announced that, and no one can disagree with it. Of course, the one person who does disagree with it is Ron Paul, the only guy who seems to get it that it's none of our business what Iran does, unless they actually deliberately threaten us, which they really haven't. It's just that everybody thinks they have. Now, we're dealing with threats. This has been a terrible week. You have to know that. This is the weekly news and review that was posted by Ryan Liebenthal on the 24th of July, 2012. And this does concern the news of a very sad week, last week. You know this. In Aurora, Colorado, a man wearing a gas mask and other tactical gear entered a midnight screening, the premiere screening, of Batman: The Dark Knight Rises. He set off a tear gas canister and fired hundreds of bullets at the audience, killing 12 people and injuring more than 50. I think 58 is the latest number. The suspected shooter, 24-year-old former neuroscience PhD candidate James Egan Holmes, was believed to have posted a profile on the website Adult Friend Finder in which he described himself as a nice guy. Well, he wrote, as nice enough of a guy who does these sort of shenanigans, Holmes reportedly had with him at the theater a shotgun, two semi-automatic pistols, and a semi-automatic rifle outfitted with a high-capacity ammunition clip, all loaded from a 6,350-bullet stockpile he had purchased online, all legally. After he was apprehended in the parking lot, Holmes identified himself as the Joker and directed police to his apartment, which had been booby-trapped with tripwires, chemicals, and improvised grenades, and where techno music may have been rigged to play while the shooting was taking place. "Make no mistake," said Aurora's police chief, "this apartment was designed to kill. In fact, the music was playing so loudly that if someone had tried to break in the door, I think they would have set off a bomb." So much to say about this, and you're already hearing hundreds and thousands of things about gun control, about another nut job legally getting weapons, about Colorado's lax gun laws, about the fact that there were people like his mother who knew that he was going to do something crazy, and yet nobody did anything about it. Most of the emphasis has been on the weapons, and that's, I guess, good for the weapon manufacturers, huh? Oh, and let's not forget that there are conspiracy theories fomenting out there that he couldn't possibly have done this and that he was a programmed killer. But the people who say things like that really don't know any information yet, and it just fits into their pre-existing agendas. Meanwhile, The Dark Knight Rises did well this weekend. It did pretty much as predicted, made $165 million in its opening weekend. I'm going to go see it in a few days. Meanwhile, insurgents launched at least 40 simultaneous attacks in 15 cities across Iraq, detonating car bombs and storming marketplaces, government offices, and military and law enforcement targets. At least 106 people were killed in one day, making it the deadliest in Iraq in over 2 years. Our going into Iraq did such great things for that country, made it a paradise of freedom and America. Once again, we screwed up. Thanks a lot, George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, both of whom belong in prison for their anti-constitutional behavior. But, of course, they'll never go to prison. Syrian rebels bombed a crisis meeting at the National Security Headquarters in Damascus, killing the country's National Security Chief, Defense Minister, and Deputy Defense Minister, who is also the brother-in-law of President Bashar al-Assad. Obama administration officials said the United States would accelerate the strengthening of groups seeking to overthrow Assad. And a Syrian foreign ministry spokesman said that his country would use its chemical and biological weapons only against foreign aggression, if they exist, he later added. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney insisted he would not make public the income tax returns he filed for years prior to 2010. He has given only partial income tax filings for 1 year, I guess 2010, not even complete for that. "You know, you should really look at where Mitt has led his life and where he's been financially," said his wife Anne in a TV interview. "He's a very generous person." Well, let us look at the tax returns and see. Actually, he's probably covering up a whole bunch of things that he did wrong. He and his wife both say all that would happen if they turned over the tax returns is people would look at them looking for troublesome things for them. Well, you know, if the guy's honest, if he's straightforward, if he actually obeys the laws, if he deserves to be president, then there shouldn't be anything in these tax returns that should make us question him. The fact that he won't show them shows that there is material in these tax returns that he's afraid to show. Mitt Romney should not be president of the United States. He is not transparent. He's a liar. He is a, he's just simply a bad guy. And we don't need somebody like him. The American Saddlebred Museum in Lexington, Kentucky, put up for auction Chevaux, a signed painting by a 9-year-old Frisian horse named Justin. In an interview with the Hoover Institute, George W. Bush explained his decision to retire from politics. 8 years was awesome, and I was famous, and I was powerful, he said. But I crawled out of the swamp, and I'm not crawling back in. Good, though he still belongs in prison. The town council of Royston, England, voted unanimously to begin culling local pigeons, which have been coating the town in excrement, rather than feeding them contraceptives or using fire gel to fool them into believing their roosts were ablaze. There is an advantage to this method, said a retired councillor. Shot pigeons give us a food source. A bobcat broke into the Washington State Prison. A teenaged bear roamed from a Walmart to a JCPenney to a Sears at a mall in Pittsburgh. Kent Couch and Farid Lofta abandoned a tandem flight from Oregon to Montana in lawn chairs lofted by helium-filled party balloons when a thunderstorm forced them to make an emergency crash landing. The pair, who met after Lofta sent Couch, a longtime lawn chair balloonist, a letter saying he hoped to fulfill a childhood dream inspired by the 1980s cartoon show Care Bears, said they were training for a joint flight over Iraq to cheer orphans. I made a commitment to Farid and the orphans of Iraq, said Couch. Otherwise, I'm on the ground for good. Meanwhile, the first country music female superstar, Kitty Wells, died at the age of 92. Microsoft, which posted a quarterly loss for the first time ever, apologized for including the code B16B00B5, i.e. big boobs, in one of its programs. The manager of the Damson Dean Hotel in Crosswaith, England, replaced his room's bedside Gideon Bibles with copies of the erotic novel 50 Shades of Grey. Local vicar Michael Woodcock noted, "The Bible remains a source of comfort and inspiration that many people do find helpful." Name me a few who've actually read it. I mean, the whole thing. Medieval bras discovered in an Austrian castle were described as a missing link in the history of women's undergarments. Coastal waters near Cape Lookout and Florence, Oregon, were found to be unusually caffeinated. Sewing needles were discovered in turkey sandwiches served to passengers on 4 Delta flights from Amsterdam. A blind Native American man sued a hospital in South Dakota for leaving him with surgical scars spelling out KKK on his abdomen. As Ramadan began, Muslim Olympians debated whether to continue their fasts during the 2012 games. I can do it after Ramadan, and Allah will accept it because there was an important reason, said an Egyptian kayaker. Representatives from the gay hookup app Grindr denied that the influx of Olympic athletes was responsible for a system crash affecting users in East London. We'd love to believe, said a spokesperson, that the best-built men in the world, all dressed up in Lycra and congregating in one place, can generate a huge success in Grindr traffic. The Munich massacre from 1972, which I mentioned in the last weekly news report from me, is going to receive at least a nod on August 6th at the Games. On September 5th, which is the actual anniversary of the date that Black September caused the Munich massacre, will receive a full tribute in Munich. This has been the Weekly News in Review. I hope I've given you something to think about today, tonight, this morning, whenever it is. Thanks for listening, and I guess I'll be back next week, too. Take care.